This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the March 8, 2024 edition of The Week Junior U.S. As always, we'll start with the week's big news. The first article is Historic Landing on the Moon. On February 22, a U.S. spacecraft landed on the moon for the first time in 50 years. The lander, named Odysseus, was the first vehicle built by a private company rather than a government agency to successfully reach the lunar surface. What happened? NASA, the U.S. space agency, paid Intuitive Machines, a company based in Houston, Texas, to build the lander. Odysseus, which is about 13 feet tall and about 5 feet wide, launched on February 15 from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida on top of a Falcon 9 rocket built by the private company SpaceX. The landing was successful but challenging. As Odysseus approached the moon, mission leaders on Earth discovered that a laser navigation instrument wasn't working. The team made an emergency fix, substituting a different instrument and updating Odysseus' software from Earth. As Odysseus descended, it went silent for longer than expected. The team waited nervously for about 15 minutes until they detected a faint signal. They confirmed that Odysseus had touched down at 6:23 p.m. Eastern Time near the moon's south pole, within a mile of its intended target. The next day, they announced that the six-legged craft had toppled over after landing and lay on its side. It is functional, but its antennae are pointed away from Earth, which limits its ability to communicate. Why is the landing significant? This was the first time the U.S. has put a spacecraft on the moon since 1972. The U.S. is the only country that has put humans on the lunar surface and one of five to have landed a spacecraft there. The other four are China, India, Japan, and the Soviet Union, which is a group of 15 countries run by Russia from 1922 to 1991. Odysseus was also one of the first missions of NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services program, which aims to reduce the cost of space exploration by having private companies build spacecraft and equipment. Odysseus also landed closer to the South Pole than any other vehicle has. This is important because NASA wants to look for signs of water there as part of its plan to one day set up a permanent human presence on the moon. What was Odysseus carrying? Odysseus transported NASA instruments to test new navigation technology and gauge how the landing affected rocks and dirt on the moon's surface. It also carried a camera system built by students at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida. It was designed to capture images of the lander during its final descent, but couldn't be used because of the last-minute problems. American artist Jeff Koons made history by becoming the first person to have their art sent to the lunar surface, including 125 miniature sculptures of the moon. How did people react? NASA officials hailed the mission. "What a triumph," NASA head Bill Nelson said after touchdown. "This feat is a giant leap forward for all of humanity." At a news conference, Intuitive Machines head Steve Altemus confirmed that a glitch had caused Odysseus to tip over. He added, "We do have communications with the lander. That's phenomenal." President Joe Biden applauded the landing. "America does hard things," he said in a statement. "We rise to the great scientific challenges of our time." What will happen next? On February 26, NASA released photos taken by Odysseus as it landed and an image that showed the lander on the moon taken by a nearby spacecraft. More photos may be released. Odysseus runs on solar power, and its mission was expected to end on February 27 when the sun moved below the horizon, leaving the lander's solar panels without sunlight. The information bubble is origin of a name. In Greek mythology, Odysseus was a strong, smart king who survived a challenging voyage to return to his wife and son. And the sidebar is the last lunar landing. NASA's Apollo program began in 1961 and put a total of 12 humans on the moon. The last of its missions, Apollo 17, took place in December 1972. Apollo 17 landed in a lunar region called the Taurus-Littrow Valley, where two astronauts gathered 243 pounds of material for study, including moon dust and rocks. The next article is U.S. takes a stand against Russia. The U.S. is imposing major economic sanctions or penalties on Russia, President Joe Biden said on February 24. More than 500 sanctions will target Russian officials and companies, including some in the financial and military sectors. The move is in response to Russia's war against Ukraine and the death of Alexei Navalny, a Russian activist who many people believe was killed for taking a stand against his country's government. The U.S. and other nations have imposed many sanctions on Russia since it invaded Ukraine in 2022, but the new penalties are the most extensive yet. They are intended to make it harder for Russia to buy weapons or fund the war in Ukraine, and they target three officials tied to Navalny's death. Navalny, age 47, was known for his criticism of Russian President Vladimir Putin, who tightly controls the country. Navalny died on February 16, and many world leaders, including Biden, blame Putin for his death. Putin denies responsibility. Biden met with Navalny's family on February 23. "I assured them that his legacy will continue to live around the world," Biden said. Next, World Wildlife Day to be observed. World Wildlife Day, WWD, is set to be observed on March 3, raising awareness of endangered species and the importance of Earth's wild plants and animals. The annual event was officially established by the United Nations, or the UN, a group of 193 nations, in 2013. WWD marks the day the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, or CITES, C-I-T-E-S, treaty was signed in 1973. Most of the world's countries signed the treaty, which manages the international trade of plants and animals and works to ensure that their survival in the wild is not threatened. The theme of this year's WWD is Connecting People and Planet, Exploring Digital Innovation in Wildlife Conservation. It focuses on the ways in which digital connections and technology can improve conservation efforts and help humans and animals safely coexist. For example, drones are observing endangered whales underwater, and messaging systems are helping conservationists in Kenya identify suspicious activity near white rhinos. Technologies like these are expensive, however, and a goal of WWD 2024 is ensuring that they are environmentally sustainable and accessible to all parts of the world, particularly in underdeveloped regions. A virtual WWD event on March 4 will focus on the role of art and technology in conservation and include a presentation of multimedia and film projects that highlight this year's theme. The winners of a youth art contest will also be announced. The word of the week this week is animal, A-N-I-M-A-L. Animals were named after the simple fact that they breathe. The word originally described any living being as opposed to something without life or inanimate. At the heart of animal is the Latin word anima, meaning air or breath. This week in history, on March 3, 2017, the Nintendo Switch video game console was released by Nintendo. The console was innovative because it could be played on its own in a handheld mode or be hooked up to a TV. Demand for the Switch was high, and Nintendo quickly sold 2 million consoles upon its release. Today, nearly 140 million Switches have been sold worldwide. Now we move on to animals and the environment, where we learn that they are teaching rats to take selfies. French artist and photographer Augustin Lanier has taught a pair of rats to take selfies. The creature's photographic training was part of an art project commenting on social media use in the modern world. There are 56 known species of rats, which live on every continent except Antarctica. The rodents are intelligent and adaptable, and they can learn to complete many different tasks. Partly for these reasons, rats are often used in scientific and medical research. For his project, Lanier took inspiration from B.F. Skinner, a famous psychologist, which is someone who studies the mind and behavior. Skinner was known for conducting behavior research with animals, such as rats and pigeons. He developed a device called an operant conditioning chamber, also called a Skinner box. This box features a bar or lever that can dispense a reward, such as food, to animals when they press it. Lanier bought two rats from a pet store and named them Augustine and Arthur after Augustine and Arthur after himself and his brother. He placed them in a tall, transparent tower similar to a Skinner box with a camera attached to it. When a rat pressed a button inside the tower, the camera took a picture of the rat, and the animal received a bit of sugar as a reward. Each photo was immediately displayed on a screen in front of the rats. But I honestly don't think they understood it, Lanier told the New York Times. Then Lanier changed the device setup so it would not always release sugar on command, instead providing the reward only occasionally. Still, the rats kept pressing the button, and the camera kept snapping pictures. Sometimes the rats received sugar, but ignored it to keep pushing the button. Lanier said this was because the excitement of pressing the button had become its own sort of reward. Every time they push the button, they have pleasure inside their brain, he told CBS Radio. Lanier said he designed the project to represent the way social media platforms encourage people to keep posting by providing unpredictable rewards such as comments, likes, and attention. As for Augustine and Arthur, Lanier says, they're really like performers, you know. And did you know, rats can feel with their whiskers, much like humans feel with our hands. And the sidebar is, new rat species found. Researchers have discovered a previously unknown species of tuft-tailed rat, a type of rodent that lives in Madagascar. It is the 14th tuft-tailed rat species to be found. Samples of the rat's DNA, which is a chemical that carries all information about living species, were used to identify the species. Next, parrots swing with their beaks. Many monkeys can swing from branch to branch using their arms and tails. Scientists call this motion brachiation. Now researchers have found that some parrots can do the same using their beaks. Experts from the New York Institute of Technology designed special perches for four rosy-faced lovebirds, a type of parrot. When the rods were thin, which made them harder to stand on, the birds began hanging from them instead. To travel, each bird would grasp the rod with its beak, swing its body sideways, and grab the rod with its feet, then repeat the process. The researchers coined a term for the strategy, beakiation. The birds' beaks provided nearly as much power as their legs. Still, this process was less efficient than many other types of movement, including the brachiation of monkeys. The birds may have developed the creative strategy in order to move along thin branches. These incredibly smart animals who are really good problem solvers, and that also extends to the way they move, researcher Edwin Dickinson told the New York Times. And the information bubble is clever critters. Parrots have been observed dunking hard biscuits in water to make them soft. The animal of the week this week is the alligator snapping turtle. Veterinarians were surprised when an alligator snapping turtle, a reptile native to Florida, was found in a lake in the UK. The turtle, named Fluffy, was probably kept as a pet and then released. Fluffy will be sent to live at a wildlife center. They live from 20 to 100 years in rivers, lakes, and canals. They grow to 26 inches on average, 50 to 220 pounds, by eating fish, other animals, and aquatic plants. And the fun fact? These turtles lure prey by wiggling a part of their tongue that looks like a worm. The Ask an Expert question is, why do monkeys throw their poop? Wild monkeys don't throw their poop very often. This behavior is more common in zoos and has been studied more in captive chimpanzees, which aren't monkeys. We can't be sure why they do it, but it's most likely a sign of frustration or an attempt to get a reaction from someone. In Science and Technology, the first article is See Through an Animal's Eyes. When does a clear blue sky not look blue? When viewed through the eyes of birds who see it in a purplish hue. Similarly, a rainbow, a caterpillar, and many other things look different to a honeybee than they do to a person because of the insect's ability to see kinds of light that humans can't. For the first time, people can experience these unique color schemes and perspectives thanks to a new camera system. Humans have three types of cells, which are microscopic units that make up all living things, in their eyes. The cells used for vision, called photoreceptors, are cone-shaped. Their job is to capture light and send it to the brain to form it pictures. With their photoreceptors, humans are usually able to detect waves of green, red, and blue light, what is known as visible light. These waves combine into millions of distinct colors. Animals, by contrast, can have different combinations of 4 or even 5 photoreceptors, including one that can see ultraviolet or UV light. That means each animal will see its own set of colors in the world around it. To humans, the sky seems blue because we can't see all the UV light in it. But animals that can see UV light, including many birds, honeybees, reptiles, and some bony fish species, would look up and see a purple sky. A butterfly that appears yellow to us would be purple and magenta to a bird. To capture what other species can see, a research team developed a portable device that is capable of splitting light into 2 beams. One is UV, and the other is the type visible to humans. Inside the device are one standard camera and another that is sensitive to UV light. Working together, the 2 cameras can record high-quality video of moving objects outdoors, including both ranges of light. Software then merges the 2 videos to produce footage that shows what animals see. The researchers hope the tool will provide a new perspective on the lives and behavior of certain animal species. The videos could be helpful for conservation as well. For example, they may be able to help researchers develop windows that are safe for birds. The information bubble is how a bee sees. Honeybees have 5 eyes, 2 of which are called compound eyes that have between 5,000 and 8,000 lenses in each. And the sidebar is the 5 senses of animals. Animals have 5 senses that humans lack. Dolphins, whales, and bats use echolocation to locate prey and obstacles with sound waves. Sharks, rays, and some fish hunt prey even when they can't see well. They use electroreception to detect nerve and muscle activity in other animals. Cold-blooded animals like bullfrogs, mosquitoes, and goldfish can see infrared light, which is invisible to humans. Sea turtles, cows, and butterflies use magnetoreception to find out where they are by sensing Earth's magnetic field, or a blanket of energy around the planet. With polarized light vision, honeybees, crickets, and certain fish can see through a glare from the sun, which helps them hunt, navigate, and communicate. Next, what did a huge prehistoric creature look like? A new study has sparked debate on exactly what the megalodon looked like. The largest shark that ever lived went extinct about 3.6 million years ago. Scientists previously determined that the megalodon was about 3 times the size of a great white shark, and the massive creature is often depicted as a larger version of a great white. However, scientists are still not sure what it truly looked like or just how big it was. It's difficult to know the exact size of this extinct shark because only fossils of its teeth and vertebrae, or spine bones, have ever been found. A new study compared the remains of a megalodon's vertebrae with those of a great white shark. The study's authors concluded that the megalodon was more slender than previously believed and looked less like a stocky great white shark and more like a mako shark. It also found that megalodons could have grown to about 66 feet long. Other scientists are not convinced, however. One researcher who concluded in a different study that the megalodon had the shape of a great white shark. The information bubble is massive mouth. The megalodon's huge jaw was full of rows of sharp teeth, each as large as a human hand. And now, the science of accomplishing goals. Reaching a big goal, like learning a language or running a marathon, is more doable if you break it down into smaller, flexible goals, a study found. For example, it might be easier to save $5 a day instead of $150 each month, even though it's the same amount of money. For the study, researchers tracked 9,000 people who promised to volunteer for 200 hours in a year, dividing them into 3 groups. The first group was encouraged to volunteer some hours every week. The second was told to volunteer 4 hours every week, and the third, 8 hours every 2 weeks. Group 1 ended up furthest from their goal, which the team said was because they weren't given a clear, smaller goal. Groups 2 and 3 volunteered 7 to 8% more than Group 1 did. Group 3 did the best because their smaller goal was concrete, but also offered flexibility on how to split the hours. The how-to section is how to celebrate Women's History Month. Take time to recognize women, past and present, who make a difference. March is Women's History Month, which celebrates the vital role of women in American history. This month also marks the International Women's Day on March 8 in recognition of the issues faced by women around the world. Both events make March a great month to celebrate women who are making a difference. Here's how you can get started. Understand the issues. The theme of this year's Women's History Month is women who advocate for equity, diversity, and inclusion. Women in the U.S. have made great strides toward equality. However, women still face discrimination. For example, many women still earn less money than men do for the same jobs, face obstacles to quality health care, and hold fewer leadership positions. Around the world, millions of girls cannot attend school. These issues particularly affect women and girls of color. Meanwhile, research shows that society improves for everyone, not just women, when women's rights are upheld and taken seriously. Speak up. At times, you may spot discrimination against women or girls in your own community. You can make your voice heard to tell to people in position of power. For example, students in several states have successfully challenged their school's dress codes, which often put more restrictions on clothes that are typically worn by girls. If you see unequal treatment of sports teams at school, such as better facilities for boys than girls, you and an adult can speak up to a school administrator. It helps to know your rights. Girls are entitled to equal treatment in education, including in sports, under Title IX, the law passed in 1972 that forbids discrimination at school based on sex. Plan a special event. Women's History Month is a reason to celebrate. Host an event to spend time with the girls and women in your life, including boys and men, too. You could watch a film directed by a woman that features strong female characters, like Barbie, Brave, or The Secret Life of Bees. Another idea is to host a women's history trivia night. Make cards with questions and answers, or play with the help of a quiz site like Sporcle, Sporcle.com. Express gratitude. One of the simplest ways to celebrate women is to tell those you know and admire how much you appreciate them. It could be a family member, friend, coach, or teacher. Make a video, write a note of thanks, or call them to let them know how they've made an impression on you and why you're grateful they're part of your life. In the on-screen section, there's a new group of emojis on the way. Soon there will be more fun ways to communicate with emojis. The Unicode Consortium, the group in charge of choosing the characters, approved 118 new emojis last September, and companies such as Apple and Google are creating versions of them to add to their phones, tablets, and computers. The new ones are expected to appear on Apple devices as soon as this spring. Users will receive them in a software update. The characters coming this year include 6 new icons: a head with lines to show it's shaking horizontally, a head with lines to show it's shaking vertically, a lime, a bird called a phoenix, a brown mushroom, and a broken chain. There will also be 4 new family emojis with gender-neutral faces. Changes are also coming to some existing emojis. Apple is turning its current family groupings, which are colorful and show gendered characters, into ones that are white silhouettes on gray squares. In addition, 6 emojis of people facing left will now also show them with their faces to the right. This includes a person walking, running, kneeling, in a wheelchair, and holding a cane. Those emojis will be available in 5 skin tones and 3 gender options, which will make them more inclusive. The new emojis are already part of the beta, or test, version of iOS 17.4 that was released for developers. Google released designs for the new emojis in November, but they are not yet available on Android devices, Gmail, or YouTube. Ideas for emojis can be submitted by anyone in the world. In sports, Major League Soccer season begins. On February 21, the 2024 MLS, or Major League Soccer, season began. Each of the league's 29 teams will play 34 regular season games, and the top 16 will qualify for the playoffs this fall. This will be the first full MLS season featuring Argentinian soccer star Lionel Messi. He joined Inter Miami last July and played in 6 matches. Although Inter Miami ended the 2023 regular season in 14th place out of 15 teams in the league's Eastern Conference, they are expected to do much better this year. Among the other teams to watch will be the Columbus Crew, who hope to defend their 2023 title and become the first repeat MLS Cup champions since the LA Galaxy in 2012. Another top team will likely be FC Cincinnati of the Eastern Conference, who won the 2023 Supporters' Shield, the trophy for the best record in the league. Eyes will also be on St. Louis City, which played its first MLS season in 2023 and was the best in the Western Conference. Inter Miami played in the league's opening day match and beat Real Salt Lake 2-0 at home. Messi had an assist on the first goal scored by Robert Taylor. 4 days later, Inter Miami visited the LA Galaxy and competed in a thrilling match that ended in a 1-1 tie. The Galaxy's Dejan Jovljic opened the scoring with just under 20 minutes to play. Near the end of the match, LA's Mark Delgado received his second yellow card or penalty of the day and had to exit the game, leaving the Galaxy with 10 players. With minutes left, Messi received a pass from Jordi Alba in the middle of the scoring box and flicked it over the goalkeeper and into the back of the net to tie it up. On February 24, Columbus kicked off their season with a 1-0 win over Atlanta United. Cucho Hernandez, the MVP of the MLS Cup, scored the team's lone goal. Also that day, matches played by Cincinnati and St. Louis ended in scoreless ties, while LAFC beat the Seattle Sounders 2-1. LAFC has won all seven of its season openers since becoming an MLS team. Charlotte FC also started with a win, beating New York City 1-0. The game was the MLS debut for Charlotte's Nymphasa Perchimas, who turned 16 on February 22. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the March 8, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US. This is Julianne, and have a great week.